Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I believe that my breathing might be close to normal again. Finally. Oh, Sunday night was not for the faint of heart. Not if you're a fan of the Golden Knights or a fan of the Sharks, for sure. But even if you have no rooting interest whatsoever, sudden death is not for the faint of heart. And sudden death is one of the reasons why Stanley Cup playoff hockey floats my boat. And I think it does yours too, judging by the reaction on social media. So much fun after the fact. But in the midst of sudden death, especially when it goes into double overtime, it's hard on the ticker. Pretty fun to know that we've got at least two Game 7s with the potential for more. Bring on the Game 7s. I know we've talked about this before, and I think that it's likely to elicit a few answers. But if you could come up with two better words in sports than Game 7, I'd like to know what they are. Because you can't say Super Bowl winner. That would be three words. And you can't say World Series champ, because that would also be three words. NBA and NHL, those are acronyms, so I don't know if they count as words or not. But defending champ, maybe reigning champ, I like that one. But I don't know that there are two better words in sports put together in one phrase that generates such emotion and also heart palpitations. Because that's what it was like for a couple of hours on Sunday evening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you had a wonderful Easter. Or if you are celebrating Passover, I hope that you enjoyed time with family and friends. I really did myself. I wasn't anticipating having any plans, but some friends of mine from my church invited me to be part of their family celebration, and it was great. I was the only outsider, but they didn't make me feel like an outsider. I'm trying to think how many people were there. At least 25 family members related in some way or another, and all ages. I was sitting next to an 80-year-old, she had just come back from a river cruise in Holland. So she was showing me all of the pictures of the tulips in Holland, which was really cool. And it was so much fun to hang out with a group of people, but also to feel like I was welcomed, even though I definitely was an outsider. Oh, and as I'm sitting at dinner, when we had finished eating, we were thinking about dessert. And I was talking to someone who was nearby. And a young man at the other end of the table said, "Wait, I know that voice." So he had heard me do some CBS Sports Minutes and knew my voice. So that was also funny. So then there was the inevitable conversation about, what do you do? Wait, what do you do? I try to avoid it at gatherings that have nothing to do with sports. But anyway, it was nice. It's always nice to be recognized by your voice, because then I know that it sticks out, which is good. It's unique. So yes, I hope you had a fantastic Resurrection Sunday, that you've enjoyed Passover. I know Passover's going on for, 8 days total. And so there's a lot to celebrate this time of the year. A lot of people have time off from school or have time off from work because of the holidays. Maybe you're out of your regular routine. I know that I have friends and family who are driving at weird hours. So whatever your situation, we're happy that you're here with us. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And again, my initial question is, what two words in sports can generate more emotion and excitement? Oh, and angst and potentially heartbeat skipping, death defying. let's hope it's not that bad. It's not life or death. But man, did I feel like it when I was listening to and watching the Sharks Golden Knights game And so we're going to get to the game sevens that were forced in hockey. But did you notice all weekend the NBA and the NHL were full of road warriors? So we're inching closer to the second round. And actually in the NBA, every single road team won in the 8 games between Saturday and Sunday. The road team was victorious every single time. And so, while we don't have a ton of potential for game sevens, I guess theoretically there are still a bunch of series that are ongoing, though many of them are 3-0, 3-1. We do have the Denver Nuggets and the San Antonio Spurs who could give us a game seven. Right now, we're going best of three. So Denver returned the favor and regained home court advantage by winning at San Antonio on Saturday. Man, it was super close between Philadelphia and Brooklyn down the stretch, and I thought we might end up having a tie series there. Despite the struggles of some of the top marksmen in the NBA, James Harden, Steph Curry, even Damian Lillard starting out really slow in the game against Oklahoma City on Sunday evening. He was able to find his momentum in a shooting stroke in the third quarter. But it was kind of interesting to see a lot of the top scorers over the weekend struggle a little bit. I mean, to not have a field goal from James Harden until midway through the fourth quarter on Saturday evening, and yet the Rockets still scratched out a victory against the Jazz. Over the course of three or four games, however long the series goes, you can start to see the disparities between two teams. I know people complain about how long the playoffs go, and certainly the NBA stretches out its first and second rounds in odd ways. However, if you do invest over the course of a series, you can start to see the haves versus the have-nots, and you can start to see the teams that are completely overmatched. And in the case of Oklahoma City, as much as they believe that keeping Paul George in town would be enough to help them form this formidable tandem between he and Russ, but also would add to their defense, would make them a much tougher out. The Western Conference is stacked right now, and very often it comes down to matchups. And in the case of the Portland Trail Blazers, I don't know that they have any more playoff experience than do the Thunder. But certainly, when you're talking about the Blazers and the injuries that they've suffered now, the format that they have and that they're relying on, it's familiar. So think about the Warriors for a second. We'll talk about Golden State in a minute, but the Warriors lose Boogie Cousins. And what happens? They revert back to what's old and comfortable. What's like their broken-in slippers. I do have a couple pairs of those, and they're my go-tos in the house. They lose Boogie, and while it's great to have a 2020 guy who doesn't want a 2020 All-Star, what they've done over the course of the last 5 years is generally play small ball, is generally run up and down the court, distribute the basketball, rely on a variety of scorers, but they like the small ball, and they feel like they have an advantage with that. Now, would they be using Boogie Cousins if he was available? Sure. But they've been able to revert back to what has worked for them for so long, so it's not an uncomfortable formula. Now, in the case of the Trailblazers, does it stink that they lost Yusuf Nurkic? Absolutely. 24 years old, having a career year. He changes what that team looks like on the court. He provides balance on both ends for sure. But the talent and the abilities that he had at his size is something that Portland hasn't had in recent history over the course of what have been a couple of futile playoff runs. But in losing him, as much as that sucked for him, and as much as it required a complete shift in perspective, the fact is, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum have played together for a really long time, and if they have to, they will soldier up and they will put that team on their backs, and it's not unfamiliar to them.
CJ crossing over on George, pulls up. Now head fakes, plays to Cantor, 8 to shoot. Cantor back to McCollum. CJ almost fell down. Across the lane he comes with a floater over Adams, and he put it down. McCollum stayed patient. He has 14 to lead all scorers in the game. Another four court against George, pulls back. Now around to Cantor, pick dribbles right. Another three on the way. Count it! Timeout, Oklahoma City. Billy Donovan isn't taking this one to get a tee. He's taking this one because he needs it desperately. Outlet pass, George, 2-on-1. George drives on McCollum, who knocked it away and stolen. Oh, George was swinging it air. CJ has it for court. A pull-up three on the way. Yes! McCollum connects, a steal and a three-pointer at the other end.
I love to hear Brian Wheeler do playoff basketball, and I'm glad he's traveling too as the voice of the Blazers radio network. He didn't travel during the year, but that's a personal note. It certainly does help when you have other contributions like Al-Farouq Aminu. He was good on both ends of the court in stretches, 19 points, 9 rebounds. Mo Harkless with a double-double. Those guys have also made major contributions in the last couple of months with the Blazers. But ultimately, the Blazers will go as far as that backcourt tandem takes them. Now, it may not be far enough for them to bust through the glass ceiling that's been holding them down over the last several years. But you never know. It just might be. McCollum with 27 points. Lillard with 24 points, 8 assists. And I can only imagine how frustrating it is for the Oklahoma City Thunder in their locker room. This was supposed to be the beginning of them taking that next step. So keeping Paul George, feeling like they were healthy this year, feeling like they had the complete package to be able to challenge. The thing is, you never operate in a vacuum. You always have to account for and compete with every other team that's attempting to do the same exact thing. And I'm glad that Paul George stayed in OKC. I like the fact that we have some talent distribution in the West. But the problem is, they're running into teams that, at least right now, are playing better, but also feel like have a little better rhythm and flow, at least in the case of Dame and CJ. And then knowing what they fought through this year, that's a big deal too. So for the Blazers, it's not been easy. It's a bit of a roller coaster ride up and down the standings in the West. And that actually is a good description for a lot of the teams in the West because of how tight the standings were. But no team starts a season ready to win a title. It helps if you face adversity. It helps if you have to fight through difficult periods because it prepares you for that same adversity and that same resistance once you get to the postseason.
It was before this series started. You know, we had CJ go down with an injury. We lost our starting center for the season. And, you know, we were kind of put in a position where we had to really lean on each other and trust each other. And I think it was great for our team.
So for Dame, for CJ, right now it's familiar. How long will they last? How far can it take them? Well, it certainly depends on matchups. And we've talked about this before. I don't know if this year will be different. I do know they are a lot of fun to watch. And they certainly operate very well together. That backcourt reminds me a little bit of Steph and Klay. The Splash Brothers, not necessarily because of how they play, but because they're really comfortable together. They're really comfortable playing their style of game, compensating for one another, working together. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, we'll get to Klay's secret to success. And he's a funny guy, and he likes being in Southern California for sure. So all 8 NBA road teams victorious this weekend. Couple of big-time road wins on Sunday in the NHL to set up Game 7s. Boom. Is there a better two-word phrase in sports? There isn't one that gives me more instant, like, reaction and emotion, for sure. Game 7 just brings all kinds of possibilities. The drama. the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and ultimately it is a sudden death. Whether or not it's actually a sudden death overtime period, ultimately it is death to one of those teams in a Game 7. So as long as these series may seem, and as long as the postseason may seem for hockey and hoops, the fact is if you invest and you get a Game 7, it's all worth it. All right, so on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, thanks so much for tuning in on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Danny Green down low, kick out Leonard, wide open three up top, got it down the bottom of the well. 50-41 Toronto. Kawhi Leonard on the board again with 16 points. Kawhi Leonard showing Sherm he plays both ends of the floor.
At an elite level too, Jonesy.
Drives, lays it up and in, says I got this one. 17-point lead for Toronto. Timeout Orlando. 92-75 Raptor. Leonard up top holding the ball into the lane. Jump stop, floats it up, no good. Ibaka rebound, lays it up and in. Toronto with its biggest lead of the game at 21-96-75. Top of the stretch, 6 minutes to go.
You know, when you have good teammates, good chemistry, you know, guys step up. That's how you win games in the playoffs. It's not a one-man team. We all did it collectively throughout the whole year. And, you know, it showed, and it shows tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That laugh was fake. Well, it was his laugh, but not on Sunday. I don't think it was any laughing matter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. The Toronto Raptors victorious at Orlando, and it was smooth sailing for the Raptors along with Kawhi Leonard, who credits the teamwork, but he had 34 points and 6 rebounds, and big deal that the Magic were out-rebounded by 11 and also committed 17 turnovers, so overmatched against the Raptors to be sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I spoke with a contact of mine in the NBA over the weekend, and I asked him what the feeling was about Kawhi in Toronto, so staying in Toronto. Now, this is not me asking if he has any inside information. This is me asking him what the feeling is inside the NBA community about whether or not Kawhi will stay in Toronto, sign a long-term deal there, or if he will depart for a different city, presumably the Clippers. Or just Los Angeles in general, but the Clippers seems to be the team that wants to make a major push for him. Again, I was asking my NBA contact the feeling inside the NBA, not any specific knowledge. Don't take this as gospel. But he told me that the feeling is twofold. One, certainly the success and the excitement around the Raptors would make it easier for Kawhi to stay, and people know Kawhi and the way that he gets comfortable. He gets comfortable. He doesn't like change. So that's one thing the Raptors have going for them. As long as they continue to win and he continues to be the focal point and he's comfortable in Toronto, well, then there's a chance he's not going to make another big change. But my friend also told me it helps that the Clippers made the playoffs and that likely did it a year ahead of schedule, that Doc Rivers and the organization has poised the franchise to make a big run in the offseason, but also that they're playing so well and that they got to the postseason for a series against the Warriors, even though they're kind of a hodgepodge mix. Guys who've come in trades and guys who weren't playing together at the beginning of the year, that may also be attractive to Kawhi Leonard and to his camp, most notably his uncle, who's one of his strongest advisors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Kawhi and the Raptors are doing their thing, and Toronto is up 3-1. We're going to head to Toronto in a couple of hours as we get closer to morning drive on the East Coast, and we'll talk to Paul Jones, who's the voice of the Raptors. You heard him there on Toronto's radio network. But how about Golden State and LA? So you remember the last time the Warriors were home, they were making history, a 31-point collapse at the hands of the Clippers. Now, they had a chance to practice not collapsing, went up by 30 in game number 3. That was on Thursday night because they were up by essentially the same margin early in the third quarter. Wasn't quite the same thing in game number 4, but certainly impressive that the Warriors went into LA and won both games there to snag that home court advantage back. So now what does it mean? Well, it means the Clippers are going to have to win at Oracle again to be able to extend the series. And we know that Kevin Durant, I am Kevin Durant, you know who I am. We know that Kevin Durant has made a major impact in the series, of course, and that Steph Curry has had some stretches in which he's been lights out, typical of those two guys. But whether or not you're waiting for Klay, I guess that's a personal issue, but I was kind of waiting for Klay to break out and have a big game of his own, which he did on Sunday. And he says there's a reason why. He started out 7-for-7. He ended up scoring 32 points. And he told, I guess it was Lisa Salters, I think it was Lisa Salters, on ABC, which is where the game aired on Sunday afternoon. He told Lisa that it was really good to be playing in front of family and friends. Now, remember, his dad is Michael Thompson, who played a good portion of his career with the Lakers. And so Klay spent a lot of time there when he was growing up. So he said it was really good to be playing in front of family and friends. But apparently, that's not the only reason he played really well on Sunday.
Oh, man, I did a couple things. I didn't think I had bad games, but I didn't have any big games. I told Jonas yesterday, we went to the beach, played some volleyball. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to go jump in the ocean. I just know that will reset my mind, and it worked. So I don't know if I'm going to jump up north because it's freezing, but something I'll definitely contemplate if I don't shoot the ball that well the rest of the year. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
The home cooking, I know the Pacific Ocean is undefeated. Yeah, I think he got his feet wet yesterday. Walked in the hotel with a wet T-shirt, with the shades on, and typical Klay type of vibe. And I just had a smile on my face when I saw him because I knew what that meant. So it's nice for him to, you know, show out like he did. And we needed every bit of it for sure.
So Klay Thompson decides he will take a dip in the Pacific Ocean, but is not going to do it when they get back to the Bay Area because it's so cold. But he enjoyed that Southern California vibe, and I can see it. I can see him walking into the hotel with sunglasses and his wet T-shirt because he wasn't planning on going in the water, but feeling like he was refreshed, rejuvenated, re-energized, and had hit the reset button. And certainly it helped. So good to be home. Although, Steve Kerr, as much as, and I like what he had to say after the game about Klay Thompson, that Klay getting into one of those grooves, it's almost otherworldly. The bench gets so excited. They can see that look on his face. You can tell when he's locked in and that it's so good for the team. But I wouldn't say that Steve Kerr was gushing over the team's victory on Sunday.
I didn't think we fully engaged in the game till they kind of took it to us in that third quarter, took the lead. And once that happened, I thought that's when our guys engaged. We started taking care of the ball and defending at a higher level.
So they are up 3-1 in the series against the Clippers. I'm not sure the 31-point collapse is a thing of the past, but it does help that they went on the road and won both the games in Los Angeles to at least erase the Clips' home court advantage. And Kawhi Leonard, he ended up with 33, and they covered for Steph, who was only 3 of 14 from the field. It was well into the second half before he hit his first triple. But that does help when you've got a plethora of options. Are there a better two words in sports together? They have to be together than game 7. We've got a couple of them actually coming up on Tuesday. I don't know what kind of plans you have for Tuesday evening, but I wouldn't make any others if I were you. If you're a true sports fan, oh my gosh, I love it when people throw that at me. A true sports fan wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that. Well, true sports fans aren't going to miss game 7s on Tuesday. I'm going to chuck it back in your face. I did have a couple of you, though, write to me with some potential challengers for Game 7 is the best two-word phrase in sports. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. And coming up, how did we get to Game 7 in Boston and Game 7 in San Jose? Will you hear it? Also, the best new sports meme to hit the internet in a long time.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Near circle, not Krug. High slot, Marchand. Far circle, Pastrnak. Had it on his backhand. Shoots. Krug shoots. He scores! The Bruins able to work the puck around, fire one. Krug gets the rebound in the near circle, and he rips it inside the near post. A power play goal! 2-1 Bruins! And the Bruins batted up the near side and out. Might have a 2-on-1. Krejci to DeBrusk over the line right side. It's 2-on-2. Krejci right circle. Centers deflected. They score! Jake DeBrusk able to win his battle. Charges to the front of the net. Got the stick down and deflects it home. Bruins 3, Leafs 1.
Well, to me, it's the best game we've played. I thought game two, we were very good. I think it was more of an ornery response from a just not a typical Bruins game one playoff. We kind of knew we had to step up. Today was more of the way we wanted to. We wanted to be aggressive, keeping pucks alive with our D. That's how you end up with 10 shots as a defenseman.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins. They played their best game of the series, and they were led by the big guns. Brad Marchand with 2 goals and an assist. Tuukka Rask had 22 saves. And Judd Surratt there on the Bruins Radio Network as they force a Game 7 in Boston coming up on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And some of you are, in fact, taking a stab at this. A better two-word phrase in sports than Game 7. I like this one from Greg. I might actually agree with this one. Gold medal. It's a pretty sweet two-word phrase. John says on Twitter, penalty shot or sudden death. Sudden death is also a good one, and it obviously goes along with the hockey theme that we're talking about. Although in Game 7s, in hoops, I get just as excited. They're a different type of animal, a different kind of feel, but Game 7, because it's winner take all, because you know it's the end of the road for at least one team, because the sense of urgency and the intensity level is so different. It changes everything to have a Game 7. And I know we don't get those in football, but we do obviously get that same type of intensity with every playoff game, because you only have one shot. You win or you go home, and that's what Game 7s are all about. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Let's see. A couple of other your two-word phrase submissions. Some of them I don't even understand, but I like this one from Mr. M on Twitter. Perfect game. They do not happen often, and when there is potential for one, people tune in. It's historic. Well, that's true. And I know that the media or social media gets all kinds of flack for talking about a no-hitter or a perfect game, but we have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing at all. Some of you are weighing in on Facebook. Dan says grand slam. I mean, those are great. I'll give you that, but not the same angst or emotional roller coaster over an extended period of time for a game 7. Mark says on Facebook, and he's got a whole list of them. No-hitter, triple-double, Super Bowl, and Stanley Cup. Yeah, I like Stanley Cup. That one works too. Plus, it has a great emoji that comes along with it right now. So, are there any other two-word phrases in sports that get you as excited as a Game 7? Larry says, the only two words sweeter than Game 7, overtime or extra innings, except I'm pretty sure overtime is one word. I don't think you could split up overtime into two words. And then Terry says, how about world champs? So those are some good ones. I like perfect game. I definitely like Stanley Cup. That one works too. And gold medal might be my favorite so far. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's toll-free, brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So as many of you did, I was spending time with a family, not my family, but some friends and a huge family on Sunday. And there were a bunch of young men, college age guys, in the group, in the family. And instead of having basketball on, they were watching golf. Now, this wasn't the Masters. When I first walked into the house, I thought maybe it was a replay of the Masters. Nope. It was a tournament with, I mean, it did have some big names. It actually featured a Dustin Johnson collapse over the final nine holes of what was a tournament on Hilton Head Island. It wasn't a major. And yet they were watching golf instead of watching NBA, or I don't think there was an NHL game going on at that time. So that was interesting. But you know me, I'm kind of a wallflower. And so I did not say anything, really. I wondered to one of the grown-ups, one of the older grown-ups, why they were watching golf. And he's like, oh, we have a lot of golf fans in the family. But since it was my first time being invited with this family, I didn't feel like it was my place to say, yo, can we change the channel? Or can you pass me the remote, please? Hey, I'm down here. Can you chuck me the remote? It took a lot of bravery on my part for me to ask for them to slide the bowl of jelly beans down. Because for a while, the jelly beans were way out of my reach. And so finally, I asked someone to slide the jelly beans down. So it was jelly beans or remote control, one or the other. I didn't think I could ask for both. Let's not get greedy on your first time hanging out with some new friends. Luke says, better two-word phrase in sports, March Madness. Yeah, that one elicits a lot of emotion. I'll give you that. Again, our phone number is 855-212-4227. Coming up, the meme that is brand new. It's all the rage in sports. It's fantastic. Oh my gosh. I like this one so much better than the crying Jordan meme. Wait, or is that not a meme? Is that a gif? Is that a meme? I suck at this.
That would be a meme.
Okay, it's a meme. I don't care if I ever see the crying Jordan meme ever again. And there are many memes that annoy me. Chris is actually the meme king on the show. But I have found one that I can come up with umpteen hundred uses for. And it's so good. We'll get to that here in a second. But first, Chris in California, welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Hey, I got a good one for you. This is an awesome one, and everyone should love this one. Triple Crown.
For sure. And for so long, we didn't have one, and now we've had two in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, ain't nothing like waiting for the end of the race, especially, you know, down the stretch they come. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing finer than that.
I cry every year. Don't ask me why, but I get very teary when I hear the announcer say, down the stretch they come. Then I get all choked up.
I used to, when I was running my bar, get everyone all pumped up because, like, I'd always go for, like, the bartender-friendly horses because you know how they all have little names and stuff.
Yes.
They always have, like, you know, like the bartender-friendly ones, and we always put money on them. We had a good time.
That's good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Actually, the Kentucky Derby is coming up in 2 weeks.
All right. Well, good luck, and hopefully you hit your parlays.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I will. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your phone call. I don't even know what a parlay is, but don't tell him. It's something about betting on like three horses. No. You win, place, and show. You have to get all three. Is it something like that? Or you're packaging a couple of bets? Fine. If you need to step in and tell me, go ahead, Brian or Chris. It's fine.
Okay. A parlay is when you place multiple bets at the same time. But
yes.
The hint here is every single bet has to win for you to win any money at all.
That's what I said. You have to win them all.
Yeah.
It's like a package deal.
Yeah. But the payoff is much greater than a single bet.
Okay. So that's why you would do it.
Yes, you would.
Oh, I wouldn't. You would. Do
you? Would.
You
should.
No, I shouldn't.
$5. I had a $5 parlay running this weekend that would have paid me $3,600.
And how much did it pay you?
Zero.
That's exactly why you don't do it.
Irrelevant.
Much higher risk. Even though there is a higher reward, the risk is much higher. And I've said this before, but this is why I don't bet. First of all, I need that money to buy food. But second of all, a friend of mine told me once, you're not prepared to lose, which is true. I suck at losing, so I'm not prepared to lose, which means I'm not a good gambler. The type of money he won and lost, I can't even talk about it without getting choked up. Luke said March Madness. There was another one. Oh, I saw this on Facebook. This one's great. Victor says Final Four. And Tyler says Masters Week, which I like. Although I don't know that the phrase Masters Week really is one that we're that familiar with in sports. The Green Jacket, that one might work, though, for Masters Week. All right, so on Twitter, ALL Radio, or on our Facebook page, are you ready for the meme? Now, I obviously can't show you the meme on radio. I can't do that, for sure. But I can describe the meme. And then Chris is going to use our social media to put the meme up. What we want from you is a caption for the meme. Because isn't that what everyone does? You use a meme to describe your emotions in any number of situations. All right, so picture this, if you will. You've got Toronto and Orlando in the first quarter. It's early. Toronto's obviously in control in this series. And there is a 3-second violation against the Toronto Raptors. And head coach Nick Nurse just can't believe it. Mouth open as wide as it can possibly go. And I'm telling you, it forms a perfect O. I don't know how he did that. For me, I would not look. My mouth open, my mouth agape like his, would not look like a perfect O. But his looks like the big O. And so he's essentially got an O right in the middle of his face where his mouth is open. And his mouth stays open for what feels like an eternity. So he's got his mouth open. At some point, wouldn't his jaw start to hurt? His jaw or his cheeks? And then he kind of looks sideways, one side to the other. He's looking at the referee, the scores table, but his mouth remains open the entire time in this giant O. Just do that with me right now. Wherever you are, Chris and Brian, this includes you too. Go, oh, and open up your mouth as far as you can. Oh, exactly. If you say the word, well, it's not a word. If you say the letter, well, it could be a word. It could be O-H. Was that me?
No.
No, that's not. That doesn't even just, that's not good. It has to be, oh, and it has to be, you have to say it for a few seconds to get your mouth into that position. Yo. No, not yo, because that's a completely different motion. I know all over the country and wherever you're listening internationally, you're all going, oh, well, he wasn't making any noise. He was just using the giant O in the middle of his face. Anyway, it's awesome. And the meme, well, it quickly turned into a meme. It went viral. Wait, do we have time to hear from him really quick? The reporter right after the game who asked him about it.
On a little more lighter note, were you aware that you were trending for your reaction to the 3-second call in the first quarter?
I wasn't aware of that. Is that a good thing? Is trending a good thing?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it's a good thing. It's like when Kawhi Leonard was laughing and it was all we heard for days. No, wait, this is just the picture. I thought a meme was like the moving one, or is that the GIF?
So that's the GIF.
Okay, so meme is just a still photo. But okay, good. But you don't actually get the extent of time that his mouth was open.
Because you don't caption a GIF. You caption
a meme. Mean, you can. I feel like you use captions for GIFs all the time. Anyway, I'm going to retweet this. I want you to send me your best captions for Nick Nurse and his meme and the fact that he's trending all over social media and just doesn't know it. Oh, and say it with me. Can we change the channel? What? No, don't change the channel. Whatever great affiliate you're listening on or SiriusXM, stick with us. We're back after the update. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Yo.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.